period of time. That was amazing. And to XGN. Dr. Roy.
Yes, it was. And John was a very smart guy who knew a lot about a lot of things. And that was self-evident every night that you listened to him. And one of the reasons I did listen to him, I learned a lot of different things. And one of my happiest moments when I started the little tech net down the way was that John made an effort to come by and answer some questions and participate. And you didn't have to do that. I really appreciated that. And that was John. He knew a lot of stuff, and he didn't want to keep it to himself. He wanted to share it. So, yes, sintering. The molybdenum, super magnets are all sintered metals. So, yeah, I'm familiar with sintering. But I'm sure that John could probably do it in his sleep.
Yes, and I do not know whether he finally had in his lab, because I didn't see that here, the 3D printer. He was talking about buying one, but I'm not sure if he purchased one. And to XGN.
Assume John was not shy about acquisitions. If he would have gotten one, he would have mentioned it to you, he would have mentioned it to other people, and eventually when I listened to the recordings, I would hear it. So my guess would be that he didn't get a 3D printer, but I could be wrong.
Yes, I cannot recall. Probably he didn't get it. Get one, but yes, we spent so much time talking about different things. We're talking also about history. John was great in history, especially with ancient history. I wasn't that good in it, but I was trying to keep up with him. And to XGN.
He particularly enjoyed about the technologies and the weapons and the strategies of battles and such. He's very much an engineer, even in that part of his his studying. You know, he didn't really care who begot who. It was more interesting to him how the boats worked and such.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a beautiful time. We spent probably good half of a year in hours, just in hours, half of a year in hours, talking about machinery. And to XGN.
Instruction manuals to him with the parts list.
Yes, I did. But I remember he was also helping me in 2011 with some of 18th century texts about electronics, radio waves, propagation, nuclear structure, the way that they saw it at that time. Yeah, that was 19th century one, 1920. We were talking about Tesla, we were talking about Marconi. There was a time when I was heavily talking about Marconi and his Bolina installation in California, if you recall that.
I started tuning in 2011. I remember the Caduceus coil and all that stuff as it unfoiled.
But now, talking about some experiments and what we got from that today, I'm pretty much sure that it's what I have seen in Lithuania experiment when I was in Lithuania, and then that what I've got with Coleman-Golepsy was working. I've got the results. Why did I start it? Well, at that time, I didn't have all the equipment. And why am I not doing it now? Well, first of all, when I heard from you that sooner or later you're going to have a problem, especially when I showed you my hand, and sooner or later it's gonna remind me what I did. I was kind of scared. And to see it.
It depends on how safe you want to be, and I would agree be as safe as humanly possible. But, you know, there are things that you could do. I saw the shielding, and, you know, you could use low power. You can kind of edge it slowly into it. You don't have to kind of go full hog and try and power your house with the damn thing.
Yes, I'm thinking to really coming back to it. I mean, the only thing that I could say to myself is I could not possibly, Roy, fool myself. Was in Lithuania we had six witnesses. Everybody got sick. I was the most sick of all of them. It was working. And we couldn't possibly lie to ourselves. How many times I have been thinking about letting go? When I'm looking still on the video material that I have from here, from Gillespie and Coleman, and I recall the time, which is on the video, when my neutron detector went crazy. Well, yes, this is scary, but it should not happen. By all means, it didn't have a right to take place, but it did. And to Exxon.
AC2GS. I'm sure I mentioned this before. You know, there used to be tens of thousands of people who swore that not only that there were angels, but they saw the angels. In the same way that I could find you a lot of people who aren't lying as far as they're concerned who have seen aliens. And I don't think there's that many anal probes designed. So, you know, people's memories are strange, wonky things. And unfortunately, I tend to rely on the fundamental standard theories of how things work, and it really doesn't have any kind of way of having what you think happened happen. So either all the stuff for the last 150 years is complete nonsense, or a couple of you guys just kind of came to the wrong conclusion. I don't know what to tell you. I tend to think that's probably more likely.
I sort of agree with you.
That coincidences of
so let's say,
time
for some reason, these guys...
Or something else going on there.
I've been able to witness some phenomena that's supposed to be explained different way. So I assume that phenomena happened, they are documented, they are videotaped, and phenomena exist. So the only question would be how we could explain it. Your final phrase, magician knows his tricks, but we were magicians. That's up to Lithuania experiment. As far as here, I would say, well, I have on my hand, I have something that reminds me that moment. Could I say that it's difficult to say invented, but let's say I went across neutron gun. A neutron can, when you slow down, can react with anything and everything you want to, and to exceed.
Now, the problem is that you can see documentation of ghosts, too. There's lots of things that, quote, can be documented, end quote. They can't be scientifically proved, unfortunately, which is where you get the big problem. And again, I don't know what to tell you. It's just science tends to be somewhat, hopefully, logical and consistent and self-consistent. And when things get described either as poof, it happens, or in a way that's contrary to the consistency of the model, again, you're stuck with two possibilities. The model is all garbage, which is problematic, or, you know, six guys got it wrong. And I'm not saying that one of the six guys was a magician, because you have the guys who did cold fusion, and they just made a misinterpretation of their results and drew a really bad conclusion that ruined their careers. But I don't think that they were malevolent people. I don't think they were con artists. I think that they wanted to believe, and so they believed, and they had nothing to base it on, unfortunately.
Talking about the cold fusion, the guys had a minuscule effect. And they wanted to prove the effect.
Very perceptive.
A phenomena that they observed.
Thoughts can
with
come
the
and go,
fraction of the 1%, you could have mistakes, and it would happen.
The one replaces it. And so,
have a percent.
I guess meditation has some kind of perceptive reality as opposed to physical reality. Physical reality is everything that you know and everything that you've seen and everything that you've learned.
And
from the moment you're born, what you're told, what you've
happened,
learned, what you've experienced, the same, and down to the very, very minutest detail. And, you know, maybe there is something beyond the physical world, the waking dream state, as opposed to the sleeping dream state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Again, it all sort of comes down to whether or not you give a damn about science. If you don't give a damn about science, then you look at the ether and the crystal and the harmonics and the universal consciousness, and you can make up any kind of drivelous nonsense. But, you know, if you want to stay in the realm of science, again, it's got to be provable. Someone does an experiment, okay, fine. Then you do the same exact experiment, and if the guy tells you that it didn't work for you because you were in the wrong latitude or longitude, or you had the wrong personality, or you didn't believe hard enough, then there's something screwy with the experiment. Again, if it was consistently working, it would work repeatedly for everyone, and it would be rather obvious. The fact that these things kind of pop up and disappear and pop up and disappear means that there's something a little strange going on around the edges. But, you know, I hope it works out. I hope you prove me completely, utterly, and totally wrong. It would be loads of fun to see everything kind of turned on its heels. But if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would bet that that's not going to happen. But, you know, you're free to try, and I hope you do succeed.
I appreciate your comment, gentlemen.
For me, science is the book on the shelf in high school, you know. After that,
Dr. Ray,
it's all about
imagery, seeing, and experiencing things.
You know, maybe the experiment took place in the other room, and in the room that I was in, you know, the experiment there was nothing to prove, and there was no point to make, and somehow it was not necessary. It wasn't even part of the menu.
Permanent result. Nothing that disappeared. We knew it, we saw it, and it was there. And it's repeatable. Why don't we repeat it? Because the heck we got sick, all of us. And I got sick the most and the longest period of time. The same story was here. I'm pretty much sure that if I go home tomorrow, I'm going to put it on a bench and start, I'm going to have it and I'm going to see it. And I know how to get it. There is nothing that is not going to be repeated. I can even do it in front of you. It's just, I got scared. Enter Aegean.
Yes, yes. Doctors are blessed people. But, you know, in a world where there is no point to make and nothing to prove, then there is no competition at all, you know. Every person is on the same level. Every person is equal. And all the differences become something to be celebrated, like the diversity of thought, you know, and the diversity of study and the diversity of abilities, you know. So that's how I see it.
Okay, unfortunately, Wesley and David keep doubling with each other, and the only way I know not to double with David is I can see him on the echo link, so I unkey when we're talking simultaneously. To me personally, science is not a book in high school. Science is a philosophy that has taken us from a really crappy world of people dying very young to a world of incredible riches. I mean, you could say, well, it's just money. It's not the value of life, but you get more life out of it anyway. You live longer, you live healthier, and you have more things that you can do. So I'm pro-science. You want to be anti-science? You want to say it's just a book in a library? So be it. It's a free country. To me, it ain't. It's a philosophy. It's a consistent philosophy, and I think that there are absolute truths in the world. There are truths, and there are falsehoods. And just because people think about falsehoods doesn't make them truths. But that's just me.
USL. Yeah, I say get more of what you want from life. You don't know what you want, you'll never get what you want. Nothing will be what you want. So you have to decide what you want, you know. And science is useful, but it's only one thing. And, you know, lots of other things too. And a whole universe full of things, you know. Things to study, things to know, things to benefit from, you know, things to experience. Bigger, better, you know, maybe not bigger, better. But, you know, if you stay in one room, you stay in one place, and you talk about the same things, and you do the same things, and you concentrate your whole life on that, you know, it can get a little monotonous, and, you know, for the good of the mind, you know, to step out, find some other thing. It was sort of like what Todd was saying about the box. Go ahead.
Yeah, once again, I kind of hate that slogan about the box. But going back, if someone kind of came to me and said, okay, there's two worlds out there. One of them has the smallpox vaccine, and the other one has this crystal, this quartz you wear on around your neck, and you meditate on it, and you become one with the astral plane. And you got to choose one of these universes. It would not take me a microsecond to choose the one with the damn smallpox vaccine. I think it's rather simple. I mean, if they throw in the damn crystals, what the hell? If you want a crystal, use a crystal. But I'm going for the smallpox vaccine myself.
Well, you know, QSL, I know that doctors will always win, so we just end the conversation like that.
Well, you go to the doctor because you're seeking the answer. So doctor could give you the answer if he goes along with what he've learned. And all the modern progress is based on people acknowledging certain achievements of other people. And that acknowledge could only go along with physics, chemistry, biology, and other arts that are repeatable and proven. So by that, I can only agree with Dr. Roy. He knows me for quite a while right now, and me drifting out of that what science says is almost non-existence. It is just that I don't have the answer for a few things, but I don't try to be rebellious, Dr. Roy.
Also said to question any person that exhibits authority, but the doctor always wins anyway.
You are perfectly free not to listen to a single doctor your entire life. The law of averages is your total life will be shorter and more painful. But you're free to do that. It's a free country so far, and I hope it stays that way.
I try to keep the doctor aware so I don't have to get advice.
Fine. I hope you don't need any.
Some people live over 100 years, never go to the doctor. And I was asking myself, were they afraid of finding out anything, just anything? Dr. Roy.
No, they're just outliers on a statistical basis. You know, you take a million people, and there's a peak where there's a lot of breakdown, and then it slides down on either side, but never quite reaches zero. And the same way that you have people who get sick when they're 3 hours old, you get some people at 100 who happen to be perfectly healthy. They have a good genetics, they have good lifestyle, they have good luck. And so for them, the preventive maintenance is unnecessary. It's like insurance. There are some people who pay insurance their entire lives, and they never collect anything on it. It's possible to be perfectly healthy. It's unlikely, but it's still possible.
Yeah, but like for overall health and welfare, you know, a person has to be in a positive environment, you know. If they're receiving a lot of abuse, they experience a psychological problem which could lead to medical problems. You know, the person meditates and does breathing, eats right, you know. In many cases, it doesn't make a difference, but for some people, it matters a lot. So, like, when somebody comes to you, you know, to ask you for advice, you know, what part of the advice is most common sense?
You'd be surprised how uncommon common sense can be.
Good answer, sir.
Also another thing, there was a study in Europe, in France. They found out that among people in science, they can find the least number of people who are spiritual. Dr. Roy.
I've seen studies like that, and it makes a great deal of sense because you don't have to rely on the ephemeral. The ephemeral is unprovable and in many ways unnecessary, and so scientists tend to be more materialistic rather than spiritualists. Now there's an interesting little bump in the road when it comes to some aspects of engineering that seem to have a slight divide. You know, there are some engineers that have a more religious, spiritual way of looking at the universe. So I don't know what quite to make of that. But pure research scientists, theoretical, fundamental science, you get a lot more materialist than you do spiritualists. And it's understandable to me. That's the world they live in, and it gets reinforced day in and day out. You don't sit there and pray for a chemical reaction. You make one.
Another subject to discuss. That was actually triggered by my wife. During the past 200 years, the world advanced more than it was the beginning of evolution. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's sort of vaguely like a logarithmic scale, and it ultimately makes some sense unless you have a catastrophe, because one discovery builds upon another, which builds upon another, and the rate tends to increase. Again, if you go to some terminal event, like you blow yourself up, or you engineer some kind of pathogen that kills everyone, well, then that's a hiccup in that road.
Yeah, but, you know, I've experienced all kinds of people. You know, some people are very connected, so connected that they can make effect on you, you know, from a distance, you know, either through phone or, you know, that somehow are able to get other people to act in their behalf. And, you know, they're rather powerful sorts of people. There's this one guru from India, and he's very well known, and he has the effect, you know, he can cause illness, he can take illness away. He has some kind of spiritual presence that is unexplainable, and people meditate, you know, he teaches meditation and yoga, but, you know, there are many, many medical doctors that believe in him, and they actually practice under him. Go ahead.
And they're perfectly free to. Perfectly free to think that they're all crazy.
Yeah, but it's uncanny. It's uncanny the power this guy has, you know, and how he can affect people. I've not seen it from anybody else. Maybe a couple of other people would have the same kind of connectedness, you know, to some kind of higher consciousness that can be used to either destroy or to heal, you know. There were some other people like that, visionaries, that have come and gone from the world. One very famous one that everybody knows is Jesus, and other people, you know, even people who are very destructive, one that you know from years ago. And, you know, the phenomena of this, very interesting. Go ahead.
It reminds me of placebo. There's a number of mechanisms in the organism that could be activated by placebo. And there was a successful study about giving people placebo where they were thinking that they are getting a drug that is going to help them. And there is a certain percent of the people who were experiencing the results, positive results, or even complete healing. Dr. Roy.
There is the positive placebo effect. There is the negative nocebo effect. The person, though, has to be aware that someone is doing some magic over them. If you've got some guy on another continent doing a magic thing by himself and you're not aware of it, then my guess is it'll have no effect one way or the other. Now, does that mean that you won't be cured? No, because some people get cured. Some people just spontaneously cure. Some people spontaneously die. Again, it's the statistics. Will the statistics change? No, they'll be the exact same damn thing because some guy chanting in India at you in Brooklyn is really not going to affect you. And again, if you want to believe in magic, feel perfectly free, as I feel perfectly free to think that it's silly.
I'm telling you, it's uncanny. Listening to this guy talk on video, or actually going to a live appearance where he is, and the energy of the crowd and all, and when people collect in a room, you know, 3,000 people to meditate, and he leads the meditation, and, you know, how this sort of brings up the energy of the room. He also has these events, you know, here, there, and everywhere, World Cultural Festival, where he gets like 3 million people to gather in like a stadium the size of like 10 football fields. And, you know, they all meditate at the same time, try to bring about some kind of change in the tension of the world. Go ahead.
There have been civilizations where they knew completely and utterly and totally that if they didn't take a virgin up to the top of their building, slit her throat, and let the blood flow, the evil snake god was going to destroy them. They had no doubts about this. This was reality for them. So this other stuff is reality for you, and I consider it to be just as equally real.
Yeah, but all for a different purpose, you know. But I will say that, you know, when I sit down and meditate and I do the breathing and I do some, like, very light yoga, I feel a million times better than before, you know, before I started. So, you know, at least there's some value for that.
I agree with that completely, 100%. Placebo effect. It is what makes you feel good. Nothing wrong with that. You like it, you feel better, that's fine. Nobody's going to give you a guarantee that you are feeling better because of that. It is just, in the meantime, you find out that you're feeling better. And that is actually one of the mechanisms of the organism that is able to heal the wounds, or to not even heal the wounds. Let's say you think that it's healing wounds better. Is it really happening? Nope. I don't believe so. But as long as you're happy with it, and to achieve it.
Yeah, but people got to know what they want, you know? If they want something, you know, then all I can do is give it to them. Go ahead.
When you talk about the energy, you specify what energy it is. And if you don't know what energy it is, then we're talking about you talking about energy that may or may not exist.
It depends what room you're in. If you're in the room of spirituality, then you experience the energy. If you're in the room of science, then you experience the facts. That's all.
Not at all. When you room with those people and you experience energy, could you name that energy? Could you categorize that energy? Could you say something about that energy apart just from the feeling that there is an energy?
and to exit.
QSL. Yeah, I've read a lot of books about the energy. People have tried to describe it. Maybe because it has no particular form or shape or description or classification, you know, that this energy can, you know, it can offer people a better quality of life, you know, through some unexplained means. So I offer to you this possibility of this better quality of life. And now, you know, if you want it, you can have it. But, you know, most people, they don't know what they want.
From what you're saying, I understand that you're describing me feeling better. I had a friend. Unfortunately, he died. And he was drinking half of a bottle of Polish vodka every day, and he was feeling better. Then he didn't feel at all, nothing. He was dead. And to exit.
Well, I mean, you want to look at this scientifically, you know? I've got my AC on, so it's very comfortable in here. I put my microbe air filter on, you know? HEPA air filter, 0.3 micron, and this air filter, 0.007. It filters out all the bad air in the apartment, all the microscopic particles, gases, and chemicals, and even particles embedded with radiation. It's a very special filter. And I sit in the corner, and this perfect air, and I sit and I do my breathing practices, rhythmic breathing, so air gets into the lungs. Air is expelled out of the lungs, and then air is brought back into the lungs with rhythmic breathing. Then, you know, I do a meditation for 20 minutes, and then, you know, I get up, I lay down, and I rest for 5 minutes, and then I do yoga for about a half an hour. And after that practice, I feel much more energetic. I feel much more relaxed. I feel refreshed. My mind is clear and connected. So, yeah, you know, you can say whatever you want. I think even scientifically, there is basis to this practice.
I've heard a few words that I'm interested with. You said radiation, and you have a filter. How this filter is made, and what kind of radiation you're talking about, and what the energy that you're talking about, how that energy that you're talking about differs from good feeling, and to exhale.
How do I describe the feeling? Lightness of being, you know. When I'm doing a group practice and we all meditate together, there's a very lightness of being. I walk down the street, I feel happy. I feel, you know, uplifted, you know. I know it sounds kind of weird, you know, like church on TV where people run, shake around and all that stuff. But, no, it's not like that. I just walk down the street feeling much lighter and much more at ease, you know. Things that would bother me psychologically, they're not even in my mind anymore. So, you know, it's a state of awareness, and a connection to something unexplainable. Go ahead.
What about the filter and what about radiation?
Well, this is a state-of-the-art air filter designed to filter out all very microscopic particles, 0.007 microns. Say that radiation is attached to small microscopic particles that fly around in the air. You can breathe them in, and it's very hard to get them out once they're inside of you. So they say to get this filter, you know, and you can turn it on the high power, and it will take a clean sweep of a 300 cubic foot room in a matter of seconds. Go ahead.
Dr. Roy, I didn't understand it fully. Do
are you getting a better answer from that intuition?
AC2GS, apparently he has a hurricane machine, because you really don't get it. That's not, you know, fans have cubic feet per minute and stuff, and that doesn't quite make any sense. You know, fans are nice, filters are great. They don't do 100% filtration, unless you set up some really, really highly over-engineered system where you have an intake vent and an outtake vent, and everything passes through the filtration system. If you just put a filter in the middle of a room, don't expect everything to just get sucked into it and then blown out. A lot of it's just going to suck, blow the same damn stuff. So, I don't know. It sounds like he probably has a future in marketing, though.
What about radiation?
You know,
not
a woman.
It depends upon what kind of radiation you're dealing with. There is nothing
dress.
That's going to suck up a gamma ray.
I looked at her once.
Yeah, if it's alpha particles,
again,
basically
page.
A piece of paper is going to get rid of it for you.
Time.
But
I thought she was. And, you know, it's all very interesting how everything just sort of fell into place.
Okay. We spend the time talking to you because at first we enjoy your presence here. At second is because you talking to us, and for me, this is valuable. Despite the fact if we agree with you or not, it is valuable to us that you are with us. Let me jump. Yeah, so I'm trying to understand more. That's why I'm asking Dr. Roy. So far, we found that you have a filter that is able to clean up microparticles, but the physical particles. Now, Dr. Roy said in the meantime, when you were talking, because you were doubling, that if there was alpha particles, which alpha particles has to come from something, and that mostly will be a decaying a specimen, alpha particles are lazy, fat, and very slow particles, and they could not even penetrate the skin. Of course, when alpha particles get into the organs, that's not really much friendly behavior, but the chances that alpha particles will get inside the organism is almost none. Now, as far as the beta goes, beta, which is another form of radiation. There are also particles, it's a physical mass. They're a little bit potent, they are practically electrons, and just named different, and they have a different origin. But they are size of electrons. Yeah, that could fly a little bit higher, and could penetrate a little bit more, but again, it is not the particle, but it's the time that you are exposed to the particles. And usually they are not present in the typical world. And then we're talking about radiation, which is a gamma.
I can give you an email address. But
gamma doesn't have a mass. It is just
to say,
energy. It's electromagnetic waves.
You're a lot better in my apartment.
Only at very high level.
I've been living in this apartment for
energy.
20 years, more than 20 years.
And
the air is just so
also
awful.
Also doesn't
so
travel in origin in the river
like
of
suffocate, you know?
By themselves,
a setup this
they
year, so they're turning it on,
and they
full
have a
power,
very much limited
clean out all the corners of the apartment.
So,
even cleaning
when you
out the inside of my head.
Physical,
you're crazy like that, you know?
Particles.
And I feel so much better. And physically, you know, scientifically, you know, clean air is good for you.
Well,
I don't need to meditate to pure oxygen, you know. The air filter made such a difference for me. Radiation wasn't a consideration. I didn't think I had any risk to breathe in radiation. But if you look on eBay for the term Geiger counter, you will encounter a lot of Russian manufacturers of this item. I guess they might know something about it. Go ahead.
My friend, I have in my lab almost every possible device that was made by very much known manufacturer and very much prestigious manufacturer for all of the form of radiation, and I'm able to find anything and everything about it, and I doubt very much that in your house or your surroundings you have any form of radiation apart from just natural one. Potassium. And that would be nothing special. Our organism is made to live around that and has no problem with that. And to interfere.
Well, you know, when I look on eBay and I saw the Geiger counters there, many of them talk about, you know, radiation in the air, radiation in the soil, radiation in the water, even radiation in the food. Radiation in the food. You can't eat food. You get food from someplace. You don't know where it comes from. You know, you don't know where it's been. And that in Russia, probably in many other places, they already have this reality that they have to test. And I would say, you know, like I spoke to this woman in the park, and she's very connected. I said to her, you know, we can't get into a situation where everybody needs to have a filter because, you know, then we can't risk, you know, creating more fallout and more toxic particles. You know, it was very clear, you know, I said, we can't afford to have to protect ourselves more than we already have to now.
I'm going to say a few words and send, give the chance to Dr. Roy to say something. One of the devices that I have in my lab is over $200,000 device that is able to measure, to show, to visualize alpha and beta particles in traces of it, not really in their normal decay, but in the traces. It's so amazingly sensitive, you couldn't imagine. And from what I know now, what I believe, you have zero exposure to the radiation that could harm you. And eBay and all of that you see is only for the purpose of selling. And you thinking that you're doing a good thing by paying for it. Dr. Roy.
Hey, C2GS. You know, if David gets peace of mind, I'm perfectly happy with that. You know, as you pointed out, Wesley, bananas have radioactive iodine, potassium rather. You know, there are things that are radioactive. There are a lot of things that aren't radioactive. Probably you get the biggest blast of radioactive exposure every time you take an airplane flight. So, I don't know, does that mean people should stop flying in airplanes? You know, life can be dangerous, but sitting there in a bomb shelter is kind of boring. So I don't understand the point of any of this. I don't think that we're being radiated to death, personally, but if it makes you happy to walk around with a Geiger counter or one of those little badges that have a bit of film that gets exposed to see if you've been radiated, then have fun. Go with it.
Her father, John, was upset about too much of the dose
person, maybe
of
the somebody that they were in the same place.
The
toxicity could be dumped underneath the house.
My mom, when she was looking for my sister,
plots of land or houses to buy, for their family, she got a map from the town stating, all the history of this, and somehow they were able to select the safe dwellings for my sisters to live in their families. The information, I think, it's available here in New York. I don't know how she got access to it. How large are the alpha beta particles? Go ahead.
Alpha particles are fat, meek. Huge. Dr. Roy.
C2GS, the two of you doubled, by the way. Basically speaking, if you take a helium atom, if you can conceive of a helium atom, it has two protons, there are two electrons circling it. If you rip off the electrons, that's what an alpha particle is. It's all nucleus. And if you want one of those electrons that you pulled off to make that alpha particle, that's basically what a beta particle is. It's an electron that's free and flying at a really fast speed. Gammas are just electromagnetic energy. But getting back to Donna's point about X-rays can be dangerous, and you always have to go into it with a risk versus benefit. If it's X-rays just for the hell of it, then that's incredibly stupid. If it's an X-ray to find something that will improve your quality and quantity of life, then it's a good bargain to be made. But yes, and as time goes on, the amount of X-rays required for imaging has gotten, thankfully, less and less. But it's still a concern to medical science, and hopefully we try to minimize it when not necessary.
Yeah, and a few more words.
When alpha or beta particles attach themselves to larger particles?
Think of it like an atom. How big is an atom? I have electron microscopes. It is good to 26 nanometers. Actually, it could go as low as 2 nanometers with it. Think that for you to see an atom, just an atom, you have to go below 1 nanometer. So it would be, the next one would be millimicro nanopico. So pico, if you go to pico scale, you would be able to see an atom. Now, atom has a nucleus that has protons and neutrons in it. And it has electrons around on the shell. If we were to think that atom is as big as a ping pong ball, then electron would be as far away as a tiny, tiny grain of sand, 10 foot field away. So when I said about the alpha particles being big and fat, yeah, in the micro scale they are big and fat, but they are extremely tiny and to exist.
So tell me, how does pico translate into micron?
It's by a thousand. You got to think of it as projectiles, okay? Alphas are big, heavy projectiles. Betas are much smaller projectiles, and they cause different forms of damage, but they basically smash things. So it's sort of, and this is a very bad example, unfortunately, if you take bullets, if you use a large caliber bullet and shoot someone in the head, you have slightly actually a better chance of not killing them because it's so forceful that it will go through it and just do damage to where it passes. If you use a lighter bullet, it tends to bounce around inside and cause more damage. It's not the greatest analogy, but it's the best one I can think of at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And also about a scale.
QSL. I'll ask somebody about this filter, and he says radiation, but radiation has to be attached to something for the filter to be able to take it out.
About a scale. You have a millimeter. 1,000 micrometers makes 1 millimeter. And then you have a 1 micrometer. 1,000 nanometers makes 1 micrometer. And then you say you have 1 nanometer. And then you take 1,000 picometers to make 1 nanometer. And then below that, femto, 1,000 femtometers make 1 picometer. And then you have atto, 1,000 attometers makes 1, whatever, goes by thousands. Alpha particles are very much lazy. They move very slow. They cannot penetrate the human skin. They are completely harmless unless you breathe them. But you have to breathe plenty of them. Dr. Roy.
You can kill yourself by swallowing them.
That's right. But alpha particles doesn't come from nowhere. So you have a decaying substance that you could say it's unhappy atom. An unhappy atom could, because it doesn't have a balance, could throw out that which he has too much of it. And by that, like everything in nature, is trying to go to balance. And when it goes to balance, it's different animal. It just changes. And so let's say there is no more copper. It changed to lead. And so on. I mean, I'm trying to give you the best analogy and to explain it.
Yeah, but what I was saying is, conceivably, if particles like 10 or 12 or 100 picos, then, you know, in order for the filter to be able to take out this particle, it has to be embedded in some larger particle that the filter can take. do these particles travel on their own through the air, or do they have to be attached to something? So